Hello, hello, hello. Yep. It's good to be with you. And just want to say, first of all, thanks for everyone, just for your love and support over the last couple of weeks with my dad's passing. Really appreciate, being part of family and, feeling a part of family, feeling the love of that. So I just really, want to say thank you for that. And then, I've got a joke that I want to share. So it seems funny going from that, but this reason for my joke. I don't normally share Irish jokes, but this one I want to share. Paddy and Murphy decided they'd go fishing one day. So they're off on their way and they got to the bridge. And when they got to the bridge, they realized, oh no, Paddy, we've forgotten our fishing gear. So they thought about it for a little while, and Paddy came up with an idea. He said, Murphy, you hang off the bridge, and I'll hold you by the ankles. When you see a fish, grab it. I'll pull you back up. Oh, good plan, good plan. So he's hanging off the bridge, and then he says, Paddy, pull me up, pull me up. What's wrong? Have you caught a fish? No, but there's a train coming. Think about that for a minute. So with that joke, I want to segue in for a bit. I want you to think, and I want you to answer honestly. How would you describe your life right now? If you had one word to describe your life right now, what would that word be? I'd like to hear some answers out loud. One word. Blessed. Sorry? Overcomer. Abundance. Sorry? Revelation. Challenge. Yeah. Sorry? Groundhog Day. Thank you. Changing.
Going up.
Growth. Okay, I'm not discounting any of those answers, but I just want you to give permission to be even more honest, if that's really how you're feeling. Achy. Thank you. Stuck. Thank you. I hear some people, and I'm really encouraged by the answers I'm hearing this morning, but I hear lots of people say this when they talk about their life. How are you going at the moment? Oh, so busy. Does anybody want to add that to their list? How are you going at the moment? Oh, life is just manic. It's chaotic. It's chaos. I'm behind the eight ball all the time. Oh, how are you going at the moment? I'm just so tired. How are you going? I just got this flipping flu. I can't just shake it. I'm sick all the time. How are you going? I'm just overworked. How are you going at the moment? I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling to make ends meet. I'm surviving. Or I'm blessed or abundant or whatever it may be. But I just want us to just take a minute to be honest with ourselves about where we're really at. And whether when someone asks us how we're doing, whether we answer truly where we're at. Or whether we just get a default of, how are you going? Good. And what does good mean? On a scale of 1 to 10? One being really good or 10 being actually one of those other things. Where are you at? Today I want to start a new series and it's called Living Your Full Life. So the beginning of the year, Margaret and I went away for a couple of days. We just sat before the Lord and said, what do you have in store for us this year? And we've kind of done a bunch of things where we thought we needed some connection. And then we talked about Holy Spirit. We talked about something else in there, which just is grace, that's it, thank you. And then we just thought, we just felt the Lord kind of calling us to like leverage the end of the year with this kind of idea about living our full life. I want to explain that this morning. John 10:10 says in the Passion Translation, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. So great analogies about rivers and things that are overflowing at the moment, kind of catch that idea. In the NIV it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In the New Living Translation it says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So let's just pray for a minute, ask the Lord to speak afresh to us this morning from that verse. Jesus, thank you that you've come to give us life and life in abundance. Thank you that you've come to give us a rich and satisfying life. Just this morning, as Beryl prayed at the beginning of the service, again, Lord, just open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see, to listen, and to respond to you through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I just want to just remind us of this morning is this, that Jesus came to give us everything in abundance. Now, that's his words, not mine. Jesus came to give you everything in abundance. I'll just tell you that again. Jesus came to give you everything in abundance. I'm sure if the middle section heard that. Jesus came to give you everything in abundance. And this section over here, Jesus came to give you as well everything over abundance. And in the back desk, Ruby, Jesus came to give you everything in abundance. What is abundance? It's a very, very large quantity of something. The synonyms of it could be ample, copious, plentiful. An abundance, though, is an indication, like in the dictionary language, that abundance suggests an even greater or even richer supply than plentiful. In that verse, John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give us, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Not more than you can expect, as it says in Ephesians. More than you expect. It's actually going to happen. Like, it's happened. Jesus has come and he's given you more than you expect. He's given you abundance. And he's given in that verse, it says he's given you everything in abundance. Everything in abundance. It's another day for another sermon. And in this series, I know Senna's probably going to touch on that a little bit. That doesn't mean that God is giving us everything good. Let me understand that. He's not giving us bad stuff, but it doesn't mean bad stuff or struggles or challenges are not going to happen to us. There's another promise that says God is working everything together for our good. Okay. And one of the reasons I think God gives us everything in abundance is to help us, like the umbrella picture of the dream, to overcome the challenges and things that we may face in life. They're not from God, but they still happen because we still live in a fallen world and the enemy still has his fingers and stuff. Does that make sense? So just a side note to note there. I'm not saying that everything is just all rosy. What I am saying is God gives us everything in abundance. Everything in abundance. And he gives us, it says, life in its fullness until we overflow. So in other words, Jesus came to impart life in the sense of he came to impart life that's thriving, not surviving. He didn't come to give you a flat white. Someone makes you a flat white and they make it properly. It should be 2 mil below the rim of the top of the cup. He came to give you a cappuccino. Someone makes you a cappuccino and make it properly. It should be a dome over the top with some chocolate sprinkled on top. Overflowing. Don't worry about the froth. That's a bad analogy. But it's fullness in a good way. So I just want to challenge us this morning to think about, if we say that our life is full, what's it full of? Is it full of the right stuff? Is it full of God's stuff? Is it overflowing with God's fullness Or is it overflowing with the fullness that we've shoved in there, and therefore there were manic, chaotic, tired, busy all the time? You know, sometimes, I don't know if you have this problem, but I do. I struggle sometimes to, I can't help myself. I go somewhere for a meal or something and someone brings out some, you know, really nice hors d'oeuvres or entree or stuff. Oh, yes, have one of those things, have one of those. Oh, they look so nice. Or the places I really struggle with are those kind of, you know, the smorgasbord places. And you get all that stuff and then I realise, oh, gosh, I haven't paced myself well. The main meal is here and I'm already full. I've pigged out and stuffed myself on the trivial stuff. And now I'm too full to enjoy the main stuff, the premier meal. What was I thinking? I don't know if you had that problem, but sometimes I do. And it's kind of like that illustration for me is like we nibble on the stuff that maybe we shouldn't or that we just get more and more of. Sometimes it's not even bad stuff. It's just like we grab it all and then we realize, oh, I'm so full now, I don't have time for the main menu, which is Jesus. You'll just have to wait, or I can't fit you in this week. Or I've got enough going on in my world at the moment to have to worry about you as well. The second thing I just want to remind us about from that verse this morning is this. The enemy, Satan, has only one thing on his mind, and it's not abundant life. Verse 10, that verse says, the beginning of it, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, strong word, and destroy. The enemy, Satan, is on a mission to stop you and I experiencing the full life that Jesus wants to give us. It says he's single-minded about that. It's his only thing he's thinking of. He's focused, he's intent on robbing you and I of abundant life. It says he comes to steal. What might he steal? I think one of the things that he would want to steal is our identity. In other words, who God says we are, what God says we have, and what God says we can do. How many times do you hear the enemy playing a soundtrack in your mind about telling you you're hopeless, no good, can't do that, you don't have that stuff, you're poor, you're impoverished, who are you to be thinking about that? Why would you feel you could have the gift of healing to pray for that person and heal them? If we're afraid in those situations, it's because we're listening to the enemy. The fear is overcoming our sense of stepping out into who God says we are or what we have. He comes to slaughter us, in other words, to kill us, to rob us of our dreams that God has placed with inside of us. Or he comes to destroy us, destroy our spirits, destroy our hope, destroy our purpose. Hear me again, he's single-minded about that. Single-minded. That's his focus and his mission, is to rob us of that. And interestingly, the context of verse 10, not just pulling out one verse, but in the context of that verse 10, it's the passage where Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he's contrasting the enemy and the thief who steals the sheep, who jumps over the fence, doesn't go through the gate, to him who is the good shepherd, who protects, who safeguards, who leads us to green pastures, who makes us lie down beside still waters, who restores and refreshes our soul. So here's my question before I finish with my last point. If Jesus came to give us full life, if Jesus came to give us a rich and satisfying life, if Jesus came to give us an abundant life or a life that's full until it overflows, or if Jesus came to give us more than we expect, if that's not yours or my experience, then it would do us probably good for each of us to ask, what's happening in my life then? If that's what Jesus came to give us and we've missed receiving it, what's happening in the middle? Let me ask it another way. Where is Satan's mission taking ground in your life? Where is he stealing from you? Where is he slaughtering you? Where is he destroying you? Often it just happens one belief at a time, one action at a time. A slow demise. It's not always a cut you off at the knees, bang, you're gone. It's often just a slow, like a frog in a kettle or a boiling pot, just not aware that it's dying as it's heating up. Bang, gone. Or how can I receive this life Jesus offers and place my stake in the ground, reclaim the fullness of life which Jesus promises to give? I don't know about you, but as I get older, I'm getting more frustrated and more sick and tired of hearing the own rhetoric in my own mind about saying, when am I going to finally get that? When am I going to finally do something about the busyness or the tiredness or the or whatever it is that you could be struggling with? When Jesus says pretty clearly, here's what I offer you. Pick it up, receive it. So here's the thing that I think it all comes down to. I think it's all about what's at the center of my life, and I think that's the starting place. We say often, if you have the right center, then you'll get the right circumference. And so if you have a chaotic center, you will get a chaotic circumference in life. If you have a busy center, you'll get a busy circumference in life. So I wonder kind of the things that thinking about is then what's driving me to be busy? What's driving me to be chaotic? What's driving me to be always tired? There are roots that in our life go down deep, and those roots draw up and bear fruit. The fruit of our actions is where our roots are drawing from. So if there's something that we're always perpetually busy, that's actually drawing from a root of something that needs to be healed and broken. It's not just we have too much in our life. It's actually been caused by something we believe. So we have to ask the Holy Spirit what that is and pursue some healing for that, to break the spirit of busyness or control that's happening in our life. And so it goes on. Does it have something to do with the spirit of fear or control? If God's center, can I suggest to you that the starting point then is God's center of getting back to being a centered life and Jesus at the center? Here's a few verses that just want to encourage us with that. Psalm 16:11, you show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. In other words, God shows us the way of life. He shows us where the center is, and there's joy and pleasure in that place. Or in Matthew 6:33, says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And the context of those verses 19 to 34, is Jesus is teaching about money, possessions, and our attitude to it. And they're a major issue that cause us to get off-center often, our concern or our pursuit about money or possessions or our attitude to that. In verse 25, he says, this is why I tell you, this is Jesus saying, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, or money, or clothes to wear. And what he's saying is, it's not saying those things are not important. He's saying, but when we worry about all those things all the time, that takes us off center. It takes us away from the presence of God being the central thing. Seeking the kingdom of God above all else. In other words, Jesus is saying, place God's kingdom at the center of your life. Seek first the presence of God above all else, and then end up with the right circumference. So here's the last thing I want to leave with us, is when we stand at the crossroads, so to speak, which path will we take? Because what it really comes down to is a choice. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. In other words, what he's saying, stand, look, ask, ask again, and then walk in it. So where you are right now, imagine standing, and there's different signposts. And one of those signposts says, abundant life this way. Whatever, mark the other signposts with whatever's going on in your life. And there's a choice to be made for each of us. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God's not in control. He's in charge. He gives us responsibility to make the decisions about which way we want to go. And he partners with us in that decision. So as you stand at the crossroads now, make a choice. You keep going the same way and keep getting the same results, or do you go a different direction and get a different result? What circumference of your life do you want it to look like? What do you need to choose to put at the center to get that? In Deuteronomy 30, God was giving instructions to the people of Israel, and he says via Moses, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you may choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life, and if you love and obey God, the Lord, you will live long in the land, and the Lord swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's exhorting the Israelites to choose life over death and blessings over cursings. And out of that came the great commandment in Matthew 22:37-40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus comes and gives us a new commandment. After that, he says, it's pretty simple really, love others as I have loved you. In other words, what he's saying, get your presence, get my presence and place it at the center and sit in that place and be loved by me, and as you are loved by me and understand my love, love others that way. As you see me love you, then love others out of that place. Or as you're transformed, then you'll transform others. But he's still saying in the New Testament, as he is in the Old Testament, make a choice. Choose life. Choose life. Remember, a thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I've come, Jesus says, to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Hence this series, living your full life. Not full that you're so busy, but your full life that you're full to overflowing with the abundance that God came to give you. If you're the right center, you'll have the right circumference. So what will you choose? This is my stake. What will you do with your stake? Where do you want to put your stake? I'm not trying to be punny here, but what is at stake? There's a lot at stake by the choices we make. Maybe our life is abundant at the moment. Maybe it's a blessing. Though I encourage you to freshly put your stake in the ground and remind yourself afresh about where your center is and where God's leading you. Maybe you've been really struggling in this season, finding yourself tired, overwhelmed. And I would suggest there's a difference between being, as we learned yesterday from the GLS, a difference between just being tired and needing a nap, between being depleted and needing to be replenished. It's time. It's, in a sense, in this season, it's time as things are changing, to a new kind of place, like we've been through the last 3 years of something that we've never thought or even dared to imagine. things are moving along. Things won't be the same again, but they'll be new, they'll be different. It's time for us to freshly put our stake in the ground and say, Jesus, I'm still committed to you. Jesus, you are still my center. Jesus, wherever you go, I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to be a disciple of yours, and I'm going to make disciples. But the choice is yours to make. So this morning, I want to give you opportunity to take your own stake. So I have some kind of stakes here, and I just encourage you to come and take a stake. You might like to write on the end of it, John 10:10, or something for your own thing. And it's a portable stake. I just encourage you to stick it somewhere, either where you can see it regularly or take it with you. We can stake it at work or stake it at home or stake it somewhere in a cafe or wherever you feel you want to acknowledge the presence of God. But I'm not going to come and give it to you today. It's your choice to take it, and it's your choice to stake it. So I'm just going to leave them down the front here. And as our worship team just come, I'm just going to encourage you to come and take a stake. We'll sing the last song you guys sing. Yep.